Scripture reading this evening will be Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
As always, it's good to be here tonight. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, and we continue our study of the book of Romans, and we come to a conclusion of Romans, the 10th chapter, here tonight. And fortunately for you, it'll be a little shorter of a lesson tonight, and that just is because we're trying to follow the natural sections of the book of Romans. And we really don't want to get into chapter 11 until next week and keep it together. And so there's only three verses here at the end of chapter 10. And so, of course, this is a great book that is dealing with justification by faith. The theme, of course, of the book, Romans chapter 1 at verse 16 tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that is another way of looking at the book, and is what Paul emphasizes throughout this great epistle. And that should be very comforting to all of us, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that we don't have to rely on our own strength. It's not dependent upon our own educational level. It's not dependent on our family background. It's not dependent on anything physical. It's dependent upon the gospel of Christ. And because of that, salvation is accessible to all. And so that's what makes the book of Romans such a wonderful epistle, because that is the theme throughout. And it reminds us over and over again that if we're going to go to heaven, it's not going to be based upon our own perfection or anything like that, but on the grace and the mercy of God that we experience when we have the proper kind of faith. Now, we have to realize, of course, that the faith throughout the book of Romans is always a comprehensive, obedient kind of faith. Still, we are justified by faith. So let's turn our attention then to the last three verses here of Romans chapter 10. And so far we have seen in Romans chapter 10 the struggle that it is to try to attain salvation by the law. In fact, Paul says in other places that it is evident that no flesh will be justified by the law, because we have seen again that the only way you can do that is by living perfectly. Any law that doesn't involve and doesn't encompass the blood of Christ demands perfection. And so we see the struggle with regard to that. As Paul has said in Romans chapter 10, we don't have to do the impossible. We don't have to go up into heaven and bring Christ down, or go down into the Hadean realm and bring Christ up. And yet, if we were going to try to be justified, try to be right with God through and by the law, it would be just that difficult. It would be near impossible. But at the same time, as we have examined Romans chapter 10, we have discovered the sureness of achieving salvation by, or justification by, faith. This not a might or maybe. If you have the kind of faith that we talked about just a moment ago, if you have a comprehensive, obedient faith that will lead you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be justified, and that same faith will move you to continue to obey God and walk in the light and of course, thereby maintain that state of justification. And we've also seen the simplicity of acquiring faith by the word. And of course, again, we're just so thankful that God has set forth this plan, that we can take God's word and hear it and understand it and obey it. And it's a very simple plan. And we thank God for that. Now, in these last three verses that we look at, we see the scope of the announcing of the word by the prophets. And the reason Paul deals with this is because we can't forget that this message of justification by faith was basically, it's really for all, obviously, the overall thing. But when he begins to make that contrast that we have talked about, being justified by faith as opposed to works of the law, he's really referring to the Jews and talking to the Jews. They're the ones who really needed that message. The Gentiles just needed to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about the Messiah. They didn't know about an anointed one coming, but the Jews through their prophets did. And so that message was really to the Jew. And they're the ones who were rejecting the message. And so we find when Paul wrote this, as we have pointed out, that most of the Jews were outside of favor with God. And they would say, but you know, the fact of the matter is, we really haven't heard the word. This thing that you're talking about, Paul, we've never heard a message like this. And so Paul begins to prove that his proclamation is universal, that it has gone out over and over again, and they should have heard it if they did not. Look at verse 18. It says, but I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. It's not really that the Jews hadn't heard the message before they heard Paul. It's just that they rejected the message. It wasn't as clear, of course, as Paul comes along and gospel preachers of the first century come along. But the things that Paul says to them, he's just echoing what the prophet said of old. And so we find then that they have indeed heard. Look at the rest of verse 19. He quotes a familiar passage. He says, their voice has gone out to all the earth and their word to the ends of the world. You recognize those words? Turn your Bibles over to Psalms, the 19th chapter. This is a classic case of how Paul taught. Paul would often, and he's not the only one, this was a popular method of teaching amongst the Jews and other gospel preachers even. They would take a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament and just use the wording of that particular passage and apply it to what they were trying to teach, because the words fit. They weren't trying to say that in these kind of cases that what they were talking about in New Testament time was a fulfillment of the passage that they quoted. They just were taking the words and the principles. And of course, this is clearly what Paul does on this occasion. You'll recognize this passage in Psalms 19. At verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Now here's verse 4. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again, we're very familiar with this. This is, of course, emphasizing the fact that God speaks today. He has always spoken through the creation that he made. That the message that there is a God has gone out to all human beings. Everybody should be able to recognize there is a God because he speaks through his creation. When you look at the sun and the moon, you're looking at the handiwork of God. When you look at the stars that he created, that should tell you right away there is a God who created all of this. And so the word goes out. Now, Paul, he's not talking in Romans chapter 10. He's not talking about creation, obviously. He's just taking those words, and he's saying to the Jews who are saying, well, Paul, you know, this is not fair. We really haven't heard. Yes, you have. The word has gone out through all the land, through all of the world. And so, again, it wasn't that the Jews hadn't heard. They just didn't like what they heard. They rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ when it was preached fully by Paul. They reject even the message that salvation would come by way of faith. That wasn't something that was first stated in the New Testament. Micah said that very thing. In fact, the just shall live by faith is a quote from Micah. So the Hebrew Scriptures talked about that. The Jews should have recognized that. Finally, when it came along and gospel preachers began to preach that, they should have recognized that, but they didn't like it. They thought that they would continue to be the special people from God. This idea that was encompassed in the gospel, that Gentiles would be added in and that some Jews would be left off, they didn't like any of that. It's not that they didn't hear it. The message has gone out throughout all the world, but they just didn't like it. Look at verse 20 then. It says, and then Isaiah said, behold, then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have sown myself to those who did not ask for me. Back up the last part of verse 20 there, verse 19 rather, says, and I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And so some Jews would come along and they would say, all right, well, maybe we did hear. Maybe the prophets did speak, but we didn't understand. That's why we didn't really believe. We didn't understand. The fact of the matter is the message was very understandable. It was something, again, that they heard several times by way of the prophets, by Isaiah and by other prophets. This isn't new. Isaiah said the same thing that Paul is now saying. It might be more to the point when Paul preaches it. He has new revelation on all of this. So Paul could set forth all the details of justification by faith. But still, the prophets spoke of it. In verse 19, that is a quotation of Deuteronomy 32 and at verse 21. And of course, back then, if you were to turn and read that, it's a situation where God was angry at the Jews because they went off and served idols. And so he was going to make them angry by taking their blessings from them and giving them to the Gentiles. That would move them to jealousy. Now we see this played out over and over again. Even as we study the book of Acts, we see Paul going to the Jews and then he turning from them when they reject the gospel, going to the Gentiles. And what would the Jews do? They'd get mad. They'd get jealous. And then, of course, want to inflict pain and punishment upon Paul. But it's not anything new. They should have understood. You remember when Paul spoke to King Agrippa, he told them, you can't be ignorant of these things because none of this happened in a corner. And in another place, Paul emphasized again that everything he taught, he wasn't saying anything other than what Moses and all the other prophets taught. And so the fact that they didn't understand, that was more of a problem with them. Blinding, closing their eyes to the truth of their own scriptures. One of the things that we can discover, just from a practical standpoint in all of this. Again, this is Paul talking mostly to the Jews with regard to their rejection of the gospel of Christ. But a lot of people make these same kind of excuses even today. It's not our fault. We haven't heard. Well, the fact of the matter is God has made arrangement for everyone to hear. And again, Paul said in another place, you remember when Paul later on, he writes to the brethren at Colossae from prison. And one of the things that he tells them is that the word has gone out to every creature. And so there may be pockets of places today of people alive today who haven't heard the gospel of Christ. That's not God's fault. God has made arrangements for the word to go out everywhere. And it has gone everywhere. And it may be again that a group of people rise up and they begin to reject the gospel. And then their children reject the gospel and grandchildren reject the gospel. And then you have a group of people after a while who haven't heard the word. Well, that's again not God's fault. He's made the arrangement. But these Jews, they really can't even make that excuse with regard to what the Gentiles might say. They have the Hebrew scriptures that over and over prophesied about all of these things. They can't claim not to understand because the Word of God is understandable. And again, that's a very practical point. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3 just for a moment. There are individuals today who are lost, and the circumstances might be a little bit different than it was with the Jews. But they think that they have a relationship with God. They think they deserve that relationship with God, but they're lost because they have rejected the gospel, just like the Jews. And again, the circumstances are a little bit different. They're not under today, not under the law or anything like that. But there's a lot of similarities behind it. Some religious folks today reject the word. Why? It's not because they can't understand it. They just don't like it. They don't like what it says. They don't want to follow what it says. Again, it's not God's fault. He has set forth the gospel in a very clear fashion. If there's one thing that all religious folks today should understand alike, it's God's plan of salvation. But that's not the case. How in the world can you misunderstand a passage like Mark 16 at verse 16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If somebody doesn't understand that, they don't want to. It's a lot like the Jews. People have heard that. They're people that we know. They're people that we work with. They're family members that we have who are lost because they have rejected the Christ, the gospel of Christ. But we have told them, listen, here's what the Bible says. Here's God's plan of salvation. Believe in Jesus and be baptized. It's very clear, but they don't like it. So they reject it. They won't be able to stand before God in judgment and say, Lord, I just didn't understand. God couldn't make it any plainer. And listen to what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 1, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. What's that? The gospel. The mystery of Christ is the gospel revealed. It used to be a mystery. It used to be that not even the angels of heaven understood exactly how God would reconcile mankind back to himself. But now it's all being revealed by the Spirit to the inspired apostle and prophets of the first century. And so now Paul says, I'm writing this down. And we know, of course, that it wasn't only Paul. Other writers, inspired writers, were writing it down. And Paul says when you read it, you'll be able to understand. You'll be able to perceive. But some people don't want to. They don't agree with it. They don't like the message. But God can't do any more than he already has. He's done everything that he can. Short of robbing man of his own free will, God has done everything he can to assure salvation to mankind. He has sacrificed his son. His son has given up the riches of heaven, has become that propitiation on Calvary's cross. He has given us revelation to tell us exactly how to take advantage of that. And now masses of people, just like the majority of the Jews in the first century, well, I don't understand. But really, they don't like it. We have to learn to obey God, whether we like it or not. We have to learn to put our own will behind and put God's will first. And just follow what the Bible teaches and obey what the Bible teaches. Not what mom and dad taught, not what the church taught that I grew up in, but listen to the Word of God. God makes it plain if we'll just follow. The Jews are struggling with that. So they're making these excuses. We haven't had the chance to understand. Yes, you have. Oh, we haven't heard. Yes, the word has gone out throughout all the world. And even the prophets. And notice one more time back over to Romans chapter 10. Notice this wasn't something that happened in an obscure fashion. It wasn't something where a gospel preacher came along and just said something very briefly and very quickly and it was done. The fact of the matter is the Jews had chance after chance after chance to hear the word of God and understand it and to obey it. Listen at verse 21. This is a quotation of Isaiah 65. Verses 2 through 5 is the context there. But at verse 21, he says, Of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Now that is so true and so applicable in the days of Paul. That's God talking. I have held out my hand all day long. I have held out my hand. And that's what God had done with the Israelites. He sent them prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. And they killed him. He finally sent his only begotten son, and they crucified him. Then he sent his apostles, and they were in the process of persecuting them and ultimately would kill them. God is saying, I've held out my hand all day long. There is no excuse. And the fact of the matter, again, just from a practical standpoint, God is continuing with regard to mankind to hold out his hand, to give the invitation. Jesus saying, come unto me, drink freely of the water of life. Over and over gives man opportunity. But too many people are following in the steps of the Jews. They have some preconceived idea in their mind. The Jews certainly did. We're the special people of God. We're the ones that are a treasure unto God, a kingdom of priests. The Gentiles shouldn't have a relationship with God. That's reserved for us. And now they're not listening to the gospel message that salvation is for all. But you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And they're rejecting this, and God's continuing to hold out his hand, but they keep rebuffing him. And so many people continue to do that today. Our prayer and our trust, even here tonight, if anyone is subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, that you won't reject the gospel. Maybe it doesn't go along with what you have been taught. Again, the idea of believing in Jesus Christ and being baptized, maybe you've been taught that you're saved by faith only all through the years. Maybe you've been taught you have to have some religious experience, some outpouring of the Spirit in order to be saved. But listen to the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. Have faith in God, believe in Jesus, obey the gospel of Christ. Remember now, it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and at verse 16. And you will be saved. Don't forget the sureness of justification by faith. It's not a might or a maybe. If you believe in Jesus, if you trust in Jesus with an obedient faith and respond to the gospel invitation, your sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ. You will be justified. You can do it this night. But let me give this quick warning and then we'll close. God is standing with his hand out. He continues to invite all day long. We're living in a time of wonderful grace. But God's hand is not always going to be extended. The time is going to come when you can no longer take advantage of the mercy and grace and love of God. That will come whenever you taste death or when Jesus comes back, whatever happens first. And if you don't take advantage of God's grace before that, you won't take advantage of it. Don't be like the Jews of old. Be like Paul and others who accepted Jesus as their Savior and obeyed the gospel and were justified by faith. Let that be you. Come forward as we together stand and sing.